Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at Eastern Mennonite University, and I want to thank you for joining me again this week. We have an exciting program for you as we look behind the scenes of some of the activities that are going on and some of the things that we deal with as staff in the athletic department. This week, I'm joined by our cross-country and track and field coach, Jason Lukowitz, and we'll get to his women's team and men's teams that will be going to the regionals here next week. But I want to just highlight a couple of other activities that are going on. All of our other fall season teams have come to a close now, with the exception of the cross-country team. The men's soccer ended up with the eighth seed in the ODAC tournament, traveled down to Roanoke last Saturday and lost in a very tough, heartbreaking game, 2-1 there, played them very evenly. According to some reports, did score a second goal, but was called back or was not seen as having crossed the line, and we won't get into that, but certainly played very well. And as James has alluded to over the last couple of weeks, it was so packed together in the ODAC that anybody could have beat anybody. And so the men's season did come to an end, as we reported last time. The other teams have finished their regular seasons, did not qualify for the ODAC tournament. And we reported last week that we were about ready to embark on hosting the Old Dominion Athletic Conference cross-country meet at Peakview Elementary, which is elementary school, which has basically become our home course, as well as a number of other courses around there. And so we'll pick that up and talk with Jason just a little bit. Jason, first of all, let me say on this podcast, what a great job you did in organizing and running it, being a first-year or second-year coach and very new to the ODAC and taking on that responsibility. It was pretty obvious to me that you've done that before, and appreciate your leadership in that. Give us a little background maybe into what are some of the things that people might not know have to go on in terms of organizing a conference meet like that.
Yeah, well, it really was my first time doing something of that magnitude. I think we had the benefit of hosting a preview meet at the beginning mm-hmm. of the season, which we learned from some bumps in the road there and helped prepare us. Really, just it comes down to details and just wanting to represent EMU well, and so had a lot of help from a lot of people, yourself included, our coaching staff, and just tried to. By the end of September, we started making plans for that event. And, we're really blessed that we have a course that is maintained by Gary Bug, Harrisonburg High School coach, and Dr. Bertner, who has put so much time and effort into that course. So that in and of itself was a huge burden lifted off of our shoulders, to have a course that is mowed and painted. And so we could focus on some of the minor details to take it from being just an ordinary event to making it something quality.
Well, one of the things that clearly you run into is having to host the meet. You get all the packets together, give sign everything, get the timers and everything else going on. Were you able to focus on your team, even though you had to run around and take care of the details?
Well, I think anytime you host a meet, there's some sacrifice that goes on there. I relied on our assistant coaches a little bit and made sure that I was there when I needed to be. We've had a little recruiting going on as well this time of year with the high school meets. And so there was definitely a push and a pull. And obviously I would like my focus to be on my athletes. But this time of year, they know what to expect and are out of our practices. So a couple of the days towards the end of that week, the upperclassmen kind of led things and they knew what they needed to do and were prepared and I think trained as normal.
Talk a little bit about the course. When I got here a number of years ago, there used to have a few more meets on it, and I understood that a lot of coaches don't like it because it's tough. Mm-hmm. And now at this time of the year, talk a little bit about the course and also preparation for the final. I mean, you certainly have plans to prepare your runners for either the conference meet mm-hmm. and then or the regionals, et cetera, right. Which we will go to the regionals. So is this how do people view this? Because I think it's a fairly tough course compared to what most would normally do. So if you come in and run a tough course 2 weeks before regionals, mm-hmm. What were the responses? I mean, they knew they had to run it, so you learn to live with it. But how does it fit into your preparations for or other coaches' preparations for the end of the season?
Well, I think I was surprised the fact that most of the coaches actually really liked Peak View. And as I conversed with them throughout the season, and it was more the athletes and the runners who weren't as big of fans. And it is a pretty difficult, challenging course. There's been a paradigm shift in cross country where in the past times didn't really matter as much. Now a lot of teams train towards running fast and they want to run a fast course at conference. And at the regional meet and the way that at-large bids are handed out for the national meet, there aren't many of those spots, and the committee looks at times. So that's why you've seen more of a trend towards running on flatter courses at the end of the year. So for us, knowing that we were going to be running a Peak View, we prepare for that in the training, a little more hill work maybe than usual. And I know several schools came up and trained on that course throughout the season to prepare for that. And so at the end of the day, the cross country is about getting from that start line to the finish line and getting there before the other team. So,
right. But what makes the course difficult if people haven't actually been on it and you try to run to places to see runners, but you actually, unless you're a runner yourself, you don't actually get on the course. What makes it difficult?
I think really just the inclines, the hills. There's one substantial hill that the men have to run twice over an 8K. It's a great course and a beautiful location, and I think that's why many of the coaches enjoy it. But it's just one of those courses that can just kind of beat you up as you go along. You hit that first big hill, right, first half mile, and then the men have to come around about halfway through their race and take it on again. So that's kind of brutal. And just steady inclines and declines. So, you know, it runs, we kind of say how it would run next to a flatter course, and I'll say 75 to 90 seconds slower for the men, maybe 45 to a minute slower for the women. So you have to kind of take that into consideration.
Good. Well, let's talk a little bit about how your team did finish up. Last year we had barely enough to have a scoring team,
right.
And then we turn around. Of course, we've been flirting with that regional ranking all along and running right next to W&L and Bridgewater. And this last Saturday we ended up with the women taking third place behind W&L.
And fourth.
Excuse me, I missed the one in there.
Yeah.
And then the men taking six. So talk just a little bit about the performance of both the men's and women's teams as you judged it and how you thought they did in comparison to what you thought they might do.
Right. Well, I'll start with the men. I know the women have gotten a lot of publicity, and rightfully so, but I was really proud of how our men competed. A lot of injuries that we've had to deal with, and came into that meet unsure. Our number two runner, Carlos Orellana, had missed the past 2 months with injuries and came out and got a top 20 finish. And the men finished sixth as a team, which out of 11, which, you know, is kind of the middle. It was an improvement over last year, but the silver lining there is that they were 12 points from third place. There was kind of a log jam, and we were the back end of that log jam between third and sixth. And that was with one of our runners struggling with some cramps, and we certainly don't make excuses, but that was very promising for them to know we were 12 points behind Roanoke, who is a regionally ranked squad. Gives them a lot of motivation going into next weekend to know that we've got a healthy crew now and that they can be competitive. So I was very proud of their effort. On the women's side, it was, I can't even say it wasn't our day because we had four of our young ladies that ran really well, and you have to have five. And one of our women had just an issue with an illness that held her back, and a potential top 15 individual finish turned into a 40th place finish. And when you do that, when there's so many talented teams, that's the difference between first, second, or fourth. And losing Katie Ekman a couple of weeks ago obviously was a big blow for us. But I think that we can go into the region meet, and if we're able to run to our full capacities, then they're going to see an improvement and perhaps finish in a top 10 spot, which is the goal going into the season.
Good. Talk just for a little bit about it. It's interesting to me that when you look at the one of the things we did with the freshmen the other night was ask them a little bit about what's unique about their sport. And I remember some of the people from track said, well, we don't get to do our thing as often. Mm-hmm. So a soccer team's going to play two games a week. You might have a race every week, but probably sometimes you skip a week. So if you happen to not be feeling well that day, it has a total impact. How is there anything emotionally or psychologically, mentally, you help your team? How do you prepare them? Because it's all this big buildup, and then all of a sudden you get a little bug that night, or you get the sniffles, or you just don't feel that well. And boy, the energy, and like you said, goes from what should have been a top 15 finish to 40. How do you help prepare them, or how do you handle that either beforehand leading up to it or after it's occurred?
Yeah, that's probably one of the most challenging things in our sport, because there aren't many opportunities to compete, and we train for those moments. And even each race building up, you know, we're all focused on the end, you know, the conference meet, the region meet, and you know, you get a cold, you get the flu, or you know, something else happens, you have a little injury, and you know, it does impact you. And once again, with us not having a great deal of depth now with some injuries, you know, one person having an off day, once again, it's the difference between second and fourth for the women. So mm-hmm. I think you have to have a certain sense of levity about it as a coach and let them know, hey, you have to go out and just give 100%. And if there are things holding you back, you know, then that's just the reality of the day. And at the end of the day, you know, we're going to give a full effort and give everything we have. And I tell them, if you cross the finish line and you know that you gave 100%, then really the end result, you know, it doesn't really matter that much.
Talk a little bit about the regional meet you are going down. I think it's in Atlanta. Talk a little bit about that event, the course, if you know anything about it. I do appreciate the fact that Bridgewater and EMU are going to be riding together on the same bus economically to try to help all of us out. I'm assuming that means we probably have to organize things next year for the regional. I don't know. Let's see where it's at. But talk a little bit about this meet, what it's going to look like, a number of teams, whatever you would know about it, and how you're preparing, because you've got a whole week, 2 weeks between the conference and here.
Right. We'll be traveling outside of Atlanta. Emory University's hosting, and you know, it's a great event. You know, it's an NCAA championship event. It's, you know, it's to build up to the national championships, and so there's just a great festive attitude there, a lot of anticipation, and you know, for us going in, I know our teams are excited. It's the first meet where rosters are limited. You're only able to run your top seven, and so we've had some of our folks who obviously are not going to be competing now, but the ones who are, you know, we're continuing just to focus on that. I think because of what happened last weekend, our team's been very focused this week. They were all early to 6:30 weightlifting this week, and just the mindset is very good, trying to heal up some injuries. But you know, our region stretches from Washington D.C. all the way to Texas, so a great area, a lot of schools, and you know, the top two teams qualify for the national championships, and then the top seven individuals not on those two teams also qualify. So we have a couple individuals who have their sights set on going to Terre Haute a week from next Saturday, and I think for our team, I think we have great goals to, you know, get in that top 10, which would be a huge improvement. I think our women were 20th and our men were like 21st or 22nd. I definitely think we'll see big jumps from both teams this year.
What number of teams are normally there? Do you know? Do you have any kind of an idea? Is it something other conferences qualify for, or anybody can go to the regionals?
Right. Everyone, I believe anyone who has competed as a full team at their conference level has the opportunity to send their team to that meet. Well, I'll anticipate around 40 schools compete in that, so it's a pretty big event, and so, it, like I said, just the atmosphere itself is very big and is exciting for the student-athletes.
Do you know much about the course?
A little bit. Yeah, I was just talking to Coach Rinker from James Madison yesterday, who his team, they ran their conference meet there. Georgia State hosted it a year ago. It's a 2K loop, and so the women run it three times, the men run it four times, so it's a little bit different. Kind of rolling, no hills too big or too big of an incline, so just a steady kind of rolling course. I've heard good things, and obviously after going around it one time, you know what to expect for the rest of the race. So it'll be a different. We haven't run on a loop course like that all season, so we're going to get down there on Friday morning and check out the course, and then be ready to go on Saturday.
Well, one final question I have. We just finished up a Chapel and Spiritual Life Week, and Ted Swartz was in here, and Ted Swartz from Ted Swartz and Company, or Ted and Company, using theater and his own personal experience and journey of faith, and drew a lot of parallels between theater and his spiritual walk, his faith walk, and development. And we don't have time to certainly go into a lot of it here, but I was once again intrigued by how we have an opportunity working in athletics to draw some of those same parallels. Just give us a snippet a little bit about how you go about doing that, mm-hmm. and because I don't know that it matters a whole lot whether you're a team sport or an individual or a runner or a basketball right. player or golf or whatever. But it really reminded me again. I'd like to pick this up on another broadcast. But while you're here with us, just give us a little bit of your take on some of the key points that you use in terms of this athletic experience, in terms of comparison to faith development.
Sure. And I appreciate that question. And, you know, for me, you know, faith is paramount in my life. And so I think it becomes a reflection of everything you do. And certainly in my role as a coach, I feel like what I'm in charge of doing is way beyond just helping make my athletes the best runners they can be, or jumpers or hurdlers or whatever, but to help them develop as people and who God, you know, created them to be. And so definitely an interesting dynamic. I mean, the team concept, everyone coming together, and there's different backgrounds. And even for those who are Christians, they come from different traditions. And so I think what I try to do is just, you know, paint a bigger picture of what community looks like as a team, and just kind of put a focal point on how we can honor God through our team. And it's good. That's going to mean different things for different people. And, you know, it's that we try to create an environment where we welcome questions and things like that, but we talk about those things. One of the things about being a distance runner, I mean, we have, you know, 12, 13 mile runs, you know, we go on, and a lot of time to talk and chat. And some people chuckle at the fact that we're running that long and can have conversations, but you have to pass the time.
I'm not sure I could do
right.
that.
but we've had some great discussions on those runs with the men or the women's teams. And so I just try to create an environment where, they are comfortable asking tough questions. And just because we're a sport, that it doesn't mean it can't be an arena where we talk about other things. And so at the end of the day for us, and my vision is that we have a championship team, but more importantly than that is that I can use my role to help them figure out like who God is and who he is in their life. And so our team motto for this year is faith, focus, and finish. And so we don't hide that, but at the same time, we kind of meet everyone where they are.
Well, it struck me when you were talking about this runner, who your fifth place runner normally would have been up in the top 15 and goes 40, just didn't have a good day. We just mentioned that a little bit ago. Well,
right.
I mean, certainly we can understand that in our own spiritual walk, there are days when we just don't feel it connecting, or
right.
we slip up, or mm-hmm. it just isn't a good day. And as you've indicated, as long as you've crossed the finish line and given it your all, even if it's not strictly, I mean, to me, a very good parallel for me to understand
right.
to say, hey, you know, there's going to be some of those days you train hard, you work, you try to be a faithful follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, and sometimes it just doesn't connect well. And then, but it's how you're going to finish the race, how you're going to keep running. So there's we could just go on and on
yeah,
with those
absolutely.
Types of experiences. But I want to make sure that it's something. And again, our challenge, of course, is the fact that we've talked many times that we have a lot of single purpose students. They come here just for that.
Mm-hmm.
They may not understand or see the relationships that could be developed between their sport and faith and their own faith
right.
journey. We hope we influence them during that time. And so I think there's some times even for me to remember that that shouldn't necessarily take a back seat.
Right.
But, and maybe we ought to be a little bit more vocal about it in terms of how can you, because my goal has always been to take the experiences that you have as an athlete and how that impacts your life when you're 35 or 55. Mm-hmm. And faith development can certainly be one of those. So I was intrigued by that once again. It was a good reminder for me to be in chapel and listen to Ted and then to compare it here. And so, well, we want to thank you for joining us today, Jason, and best of wishes to you and the team. It's been exciting,
yeah.
Certainly developing that type of team that is both championship as well as quality. And we hope that the growth pattern continues, both right. in terms of the numbers as well as the quality. You got young women on the team, so that should be very well for the future as well. And so we hope to hear a good report back. I think you did take one to Nationals last year.
We did.
I was taking
yeah.
Dan sure. Nafsinger went last year. I'm sure he has his sights set on that, and hopefully
absolutely.
A couple of others, individuals, if not a whole team. You just never know what might happen.
That's, so. Right. That's right.
Well, thanks for joining us today on
sure.
the podcast Inside Athletics. And we want to invite you to come back again. Basketball season tips off with a tip-off tournament on November 16 and 17. Our men will be in action here on those 2 days, and our women will be at Messiah College in their tip-off tournament on Friday and Saturday. We'll give you the dates and specific times of those here in a little bit. So we're just at that in-between where we wrap up the final events of the fall season. season with a cross-country regional and then hopefully national, and then we'll be ready to jump into the fall sports season. Once again, stay in tune with us through emuroyals.com, and we'll join you next week. And until that time, I invite you to make it a great week.